Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Ayin Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah, 16 lines from the top of daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Batzar Vashiv. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Reb Binyamin Ben Reb Yaakov, and today's daf is also being learned in honor of the wedding of Shloime Zalman ben Esther Etel and Chana Pesel bas Esther, Yedidenu Reb Daniel Kasten, Yisinachis, from this couple and from all your children and Enoklach, Mazel Tov to the ganze Mishpacha. So the Mishnah that we're about to learn right now is the Mishnah with the Hei Ayidia in Perek Ezeu Nashach. It begins discussing the halacha that's known in the vernacular as a forward contract. And I think that it's kedai to precap the Mishnah. It's a halacha that we're already familiar with. In fact, something that was referenced in the very, very first Mishnah in Perek Ezeu Nashach. And that is, once upon a time, it was quite common for people that bought merchandise, such as peiros, from farmers to agree on a price at the beginning of the year. They would pay for the peiros at the beginning of the year, and then when the harvest season came, the meshach hashana, the meicher would deliver the peiros that were purchased by this buyer. Now, doing that involved a little bit of price risk. And the reason is because essentially the buyer and the seller are agreeing on a price for the peiros at the beginning of the year, although the price is not really going to be fixed until later in the year. Now, the way that these agreements were usually made was there was a cheaper price that was agreed upon, meaning the meeting of the minds was usually on the lower end of where the price would shake out. In other words, it was understood that the buyer would end up profiting off of this arrangement. Why would the buyer do it? Because he would end up profiting off of this arrangement. Why would the seller do it? Because he was getting prepaid. He was getting money in advance, and as a result, it was worth it for him. This is a loan, quote-unquote, so to speak, and it's for that reason it was in the mutual interest of both parties to agree to something like this. The problem is Sishmek fin ribis. Now, to be clear, it's not ribis. The reason it's not ribis is because ribis midai raisa is only if there was a loan involved. It has to be derech chava. This was derech mekach memker 101, and as a result, although clearly there's an element of ribis here, it's not ribis dai raisa. Obe ribis derabanan it zichir is. Because like the Gemara said, kol agar natar oser. And being that over here, there's an agar natar, the seller is willing to give more schira to the buyer in exchange for him getting the money in advance, meaning he's paying to be able to use the money of the buyer. That's something that the Rabbanon forbade. That is what we know as avak ribis. That's what we know as ribis the Rabbanon. And it's for that reason, the Rabbanon had to sit down and roll their sleeves up, so to speak, and figure out a workaround, because this is the way commerce was done. This is the way business was done. And being that there was an avak ribis element, Chazal said, we have to figure something out. And they came up with two ways, meaning they said that there are two times that such an arrangement would be permissible. Number one, in the event that the seller has the schayra, that he's going to deliver b'meshach hashana already in his possession, then this is going to be okay. The methodology is, the way Rashi explains it in the Mishnah, is because to the extent that the seller has the schayra, we view it as if the buyer bought the schayra right now, the mecha was completed, grada, he's not delivering it until later in the year. But to the extent that the mecher was completed right now, it's tam v'nishlan, so then we don't view this as aganat. It's not a prepayment. This is the payment. This is when the deal actually got done. And as a result, there's not going to be an issue of naganat there. That's a basic workaround. But there was another workaround, even a bigger kula that the Chachamim said. And that is that even if the seller doesn't have the payers right now, but to the extent that it was Yotza Hashar, to the extent that there's a fixed price right now for these payers, and they're readily available, so that if the seller would want, he could take the money that he received go out and buy that Paris right now, that in and of itself would be enough to permit this transaction to happen. So that you don't need that the seller should physically have it. It doesn't have to be what the Gemara is going to refer to as Yeshloi. But even if it's Einloi, even if he doesn't have it, if it's Yotze Hashar, he can go out and he can buy it. That in and of itself would be okay. Being that all we were dealing with here was an Avak Ribbis, so Chazal said, as long as there's a weight, so it shouldn't feel so much like Ribbis, we'll permit this. We'll allow this to happen. Meaning, if this was Ribbis Dei Raisa, then you could stand on your head. This is the way people do business. What should I tell you? Find another job. But being that all we're dealing with was Ribbis Rabbanon, and this was something that seemingly was very prevalent, so Chazal worked with the Tagarin, with the buyers and the sellers, and they said that as long as you do it in a way where it's not going to be so Mechzik Ribbis, we'll permit it. What was the permit? If either it's Yeshloi to the seller, or even if it's Einloi, if it's Yotza Ashar, so that he can go hit the bid and buy it in some efficient manner, that in and of itself would be okay. Either way, what we just spoke out is what the Mishnah is going to say, albeit B'Lashayne Azov, Shel HaMishnah, and Kimuv with some additional pratim as well. It's up to Mishnah. Ein poiskin ala peiros ad sheyetze yashar. You're not allowed to make an agreement where a buyer is going to give money to a seller right now in exchange for a fixed price where the seller is not going to deliver the peiros until later in the year, until the shar, meaning the price of what these peiros are supposed to be, is already something that has been made public. It's something that's already efficient. Yotza Hashar Poiskin. If, however, there's already an efficient price, then it's something that's okay. And the reason why it's okay when it's Yotza Hashar, because even if this person doesn't have it, what do you mean, even if this person doesn't have it? Because if this person would have the Schayra, then you wouldn't even need Yotza Hashar, like we spoke at in the introduction. But the point is that once it's Yotza Hashar, even if he doesn't have it, someone else has it, he can always take this money and buy it. Thus, like she spoke out, we view it as if the Mekach u'Memkah already took place. We don't see this as an aganater, and it's for that reason it's going to be okay. Let's say it was the beginning of the harvest season for wheat. If a seller now wants to go sell wheat, it's something that he can do. Now, the way Rashi explains, there's an added chiddush over here, and that is that we're saying that a seller that has wheat is allowed to sell his wheat for a contract based on the halach of Yeshloi. Okay, that we already know. But kamash malon, that even if it's in the early season, so that it's mistaber that the wheat hasn't been completely processed, not fully developed, all the sidur of the past of Lamates Malachas fame have not yet been completed, afal pikein, you can sell via this forward contract wheat that's going to be fully developed. And the reason you could do that is because we view it as Yeshloi. So what's the Chiddush? Solka Daita Chamina, maybe the only time it's Yeshloi is if it's in the completed form. But if it's not in the completed form, it's still in its infancy stages, it has to be cultivated a little bit, it has to be worked a little bit. So maybe I would have thought that's not enough. That's the Chiddush, that even though it's Tekilo Lekoitzrim, you could be Paisakimo, even for the Godish, even for something that's going to be complete. Additionally, Vala Abed Shala Novin, in the event that somebody has grapes that's in a vat, so these grapes haven't yet fully been processed to create wine, Afal Pikein, you're allowed to go now and you're allowed to sell on a forward contract, these are noven. Vala matin shal zeisim. The same is true as it relates to olives and oil. Vala beitzim shal yoitzer. In the event that you want to buy something from a yoitzer, some craftsman, as long as he already has his clay or whatever it is that he's working with, his material in the form of beitzim, at that point it's considered yeshloi, and it'd be permissible to get involved in this forward contract. Vala sid. And if you're buying limestone, it's mishashigul bekevshon. As soon as the craftsman takes this sid and he puts it into an oven, a kiln, a kivshan, that would be already considered that he has it enough that it should be considered yeshloi as it relates to this halach. So what was the last two lines? It's a little bit technical. I am b'gemara, but the point is that, which we'll do of course, that there's an idea that in order for something to be considered yeshloi, it doesn't have to be in its completed form. This in and of itself would be enough. Mishnah continues and says, a person is allowed to sell zevel. He's allowed to sell that with a forward contract during the entire year, meaning there's no season that you can do it, you can't do it. It's something that you're always allowed to do. And the reason is because although lav dafka, you have zevel, but somebody always does, and that person's always willing to sell it. It's always considered yotza hashah, and it's for that reason there's never an issue to do this for contract. Rabbi Yossi says, ein pois kana la zevel, elim kein oisle zevel ba'ashma. Rabbi Yossi says just the opposite, 180 degrees. I hold you're never allowed to get involved in one of these contracts as it relates to zevel. So whereas the chachamim say zevel, you can always do. Rabbi Yosi says it's actually something you can never do. Chachamim say that it's going to be mutter. Another halacha, upoisik imoy b'shar hagavay. So the premise of the Ford contract was to benefit the buyer. The buyer is going to lock into a price knowing that it's going to be more expensive at some future date. The reason he's doing it is because he wants to make money. The reason the seller is agreeable to do it is because he's going to get his prepayment. He has his agar natar, and he's going to be able to use the money. It's good for cash flow, and it's for that reason the seller is agreeable to do this as well. What happens if the tefuah goes down in value? So it doesn't go up in value, it goes down in value. So based on that, the buyer, l'chura, would end up losing, meaning there was an agreement. I'm going to give you $1,000, and you're going to deliver 100 bushels of grain. Okay, if the grain goes up, gevaldik, I made money. Instead of getting $1,000 worth of grain, I got $2,000 worth of grain. Well, what happens if grain goes down and now I got $500 worth of grain? So says the Mishnah, if you want to protect yourself, you can. But what you'll need to do is you'll have to agree, you'll have to be poisek imay b'shar ha-gavaya. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, it's the first wide line, shar ha-gavaya haynu b'zoyal, shenoisnen peyreis harbe b'damu mu'atim. Meaning, you have to hedge yourself. You could, but you have to. And if you don't, then you're going to end up losing. Meaning, just because the premise of this transaction is for you to profit, it doesn't mean that you're going to profit. You may end up losing. Now, if you don't want to lose, so hire a good lawyer and make sure that you're posekim by b'shara gavaya to protect yourself. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afal pishalos posekim by b'shara gavaya." Even if you didn't hedge yourself, yochel loymar, in the event that the tefua ends up going down in value, so now the agreement that you made is not such a good agreement. You have a way to back out. What could you say? Tainli kozeh or tainli es ma'isa. You can make an ultimatum to your seller. You could say, "Listen, either you give it to me based on what I thought I was going to get, or give me my money back." And if you want to do that, that's something you're allowed to do. Now, why could you do that? It's very simple, because mois is not koinos. So as much as you prepaid, but at the end of the day, that didn't create any kinyan. Being didn't create any kinyan, right? That's the first mission of Paragazov. It's not considered a kinyan until you do mashiach and the actual schar that you're taking down. So it's for that reason, if you want to back out, you can back out. Fake Rashi. What about Mishapara? Mishapara, Mianchidara. What about that, right? Even though Moise is not Koinois, but there's something called Mishapara. So Rashi says Gishmak. Rashi says that the only time there's a Mishapara is when a person agrees to a transaction, he even gives money for it, but the objective of the transaction was for it to go into effect right away. But being that over here, this transaction was not really meant to go into effect until a future date, it's understood that you may want to back out between now and then, and v'loy alzen nema mishapar. So it's a chiddush of mishapar, but al-kaponim, whereas the chachamim say that the only way you can hedge yourself against the price of this commodity working against you is if you insert language as such. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to insert language, because at the end of the day, you could always make an ultimatum to the seller. If the seller doesn't want to give it to you, no problem. I'm taking my money back. And that's something you could do. Why? Because mois is not koinois. And in this case, you don't even have a mishapara. Either way, a lot happened in this Mishnah. Really, the recap of the Mishnah is the precap of the Mishnah, which we already did. So before we start the next Gemara, which is a little bit technical, and it describes technicalities of a world that we don't live in, so I just think it's kedai, again, to precap a little bit of a metzias. And that is that it seems that the way prices of peiros evolved on a season-by-season basis was in three shlavim. It happened in three steps. So if you can visualize, you have farmers that live in small-town America, and they grow corn, they grow tomatoes, they grow coffee beans, whatever exactly it is they grow, and you know, people come to them, and they buy things from them, and they had their price, whatever it was, that they would sell it for. Presumably, they took their own expenses and profit margin that they were looking to make into consideration, and based on that, they fixed their price. So a cup of coffee by one farmer might have been different than a cup of coffee by another farmer. At some point, all the farmers would come together and there would be a Yom HaShuk, and they would start selling their wares, and because of competition, so the prices became a little bit more efficient, right? You can't have one person charging $5 for a latte and another person charging $1. It wouldn't really work. So memela, it was just the fact that everybody says I'm in a shuk, that the prices became a little bit more solid, a little bit more stable. And once they became that way, they were going to remain that way for a little bit of time. But then the prices became even more efficient. And that happened when the importing began and all the ships started arriving. And now you have coffee beans coming from Brazil and Colombia and Yanomamiville. Oh, once that starts happening, so then the prices became even more efficient. And that really set the price for the remainder of this fiscal season. Either way, our Mishnah talked about Yotza Hashar and Chapsa Nafkemina La'alocha as it relates to these forward contracts. So when you say Yotza Hashar, which shar are we talking about? We're talking about the early stage, the middle stage, the final stage. That's the background to these next several lines of the Gemara. Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Abasi said in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, Ein poiskin al shar shebishuk. Although there's halacha of Yotza Hashar, but you can't be poisek, you can't agree to a forward contract based on the shar shebishuk. On the shar that was in the shuk. Amar Rabbi Zeir told Rav Asi, Rabbi Zeir told Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Filo kedur mesazeh, when Rabbi Yochanan said this, did he mean even the shuk in the Durmis? So what does that mean? Rashi says, Itlis Rava Gadol, he meant even the one that happened in the big shuk? Amalei? No. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ela b'shuk shalai yorois, the loikfi tarayu. He meant the first shuk that we spoke about, when each farmer is selling individually. So over there, that price is not considered a Yotza Hashar. So over there, you wouldn't be able to sell based on the Yotza Hashar. If it's Ein Loi, but Yotza Hashar, that's not called a shah. If, however, it was already the middle stage, it's already in the Itlis, Rava Gadol, it's already in the Gerois HaShuk, that already would be considered Yotza Hashar. So the Gemara says, Uman, the Solik Atayte Mei Kardam Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Kedur Masazeh. Right, Rabbi Zeir told Rabbi Asi, did Rabbi Yochanan mean Afilu Kedur Masazeh? It sounds like he had a Hava Mina that maybe he did. That according to Rabbi Yochanan, even Kedur Masazeh is not considered Yotza Hashar. El Mas Nisin, Diktoni, Ein Poiz Kanal Peris Hashi, Yotza Hashar. Yotza Hashar, Poiz Kenechim Mishkach Asol. If Rabbi Yochanan said that even the Yotza Hashar of the big Shuk is not considered a Yotza Hashar, then what is Yotza Hashar? Meaning, if it's not stage one and it's not stage two, so what is it? Oh, so we already know the answer. And for the Gemara, Masnisim Bechiti Dakalbi V'Arbi, the Mishnah is talking about after the third stage, when people already started taking out all the wheat from the storage houses and the Arbi, Hu Arba of the beginning of Shnayim Moichsin and Cheskes Abatim Fein, when the ship started arriving, that shar that was created then was Mashach Taret Fei. That was here to stay. That was the shah. That's the shah that the Mishnah could have been referring to. Grab, it's not. Yochanan said that the Kedur Masazeh really would be considered Yotza Hashar. What's not considered Yotza Hashar? It's that first stage. It's the Shuk Shalai Yars. More on this now. Tana Rabbanan, a Brisa. Ein poiskin ala peiris achi Yotza Hashar. Yotza Hashar poiskin. Afa picha ein lozeh, yesh lozeh. Verbatim the Mishnah. But the Brisa continues. The Brisa says, Hoyu chadosh is meyarbo, v'yishon is mishalosh. What happens if the Shar was where new wheat was selling for Arba, meaning you can get four, whatever it is, for the seller, and Yeshanos, the older ones, the age ones, were selling three to the seller, meaning the Yeshanos were a little bit more valuable. They were more expensive than the Chadashos. The Chadashos were still moist. They weren't ready to be used. They were less viable. And as a result, you got a little bit of a discount if you wanted to buy them. The Yeshanos have been aged already in a good way, and it's for that reason they're a little bit more expensive. So says the Brice, so let's say the Chadashos are trading four to the seller, and the Yeshanos are trading three to the seller. So in Poiskin, if you now want to buy based on a forward contract, so you can't buy the Chadashos based on a price of four to the seller when you're going to get delivery later in the year. And the reason is because when you're going to get delivery later in the year, it's going to be Yaveshois already. It's going to be Yeshanois. And being that it's going to be Yeshanois, it's going to be three to the seller. So what emerges then is you're going to end up getting more than what it is you paid for. And that's not something you're allowed to do. So zok the Braisa, if the shar is the same for the chodesh and the yashan, okay, no worries. You don't have to worry about it. If they're both the same price, so they're both the same price. But to the extent that there's a price discrepancy between the chadoshes and the yashanos, you can't give money for chadoshes on the premise that there's going to be a delivery of yashanos. And the reason is because the price of chadoshes and the price of yashanos is not the same, and it's going to end up being a classic Ford contract, which is not okay. The Braisa says, similarly, so Rashi explains the Metzias, Lukutos were tfuah that was sold by people that used to be malakeh from different fields. So think of an oni who's entitled to like a chikhempeyo, he's entitled to matnas anim. He doesn't have his own field, but what he would do is he would take from here, would take from there, and sometimes he would resell. Sometimes he had his own business going. Now, his schoir was considered to be inferior, and because it was considered to be inferior, so it's mistaber, or could be, that his tfuah would be trading for the seller. Everyone else's tfuah, meaning the balabatim that have a field where it's more uniform, the thing that they're selling, would be three. So in the event that that's the metzias, where the lekutes was arba and kol adam was shalosh, ein poiskin atche yetzei hashad uloiket ulam moicher. So the halacha over there too would be that you wouldn't be able to buy from the lekutes based on the price of the balabatim, because it's not the same schoira. As a result, when they deliver, you're going to end up getting ribbis. So the only time you'd be able to do it if it was yetzei hashad loiket ulamoicher, loiket meaning the people that sell lekutos, and the moicher meaning the balabayis that sells his own schoira. It's only then that this would be okay. Weiter, Amar Rav Nachman. Nachman said, poiskin lelekutos kishar halekutos. If somebody wants to buy from lekutos, he can buy from lekutos based on the price of the lekutos. So when is it not okay to get involved in the lekutos? That's if I'm buying from a balabayis, I'm going to agree to a price of lekutos, I'm going to take down schoira of the price of the balabayis, even though it's all the same schayra on some level, afal pikid, it doesn't matter. This is a problem of avak ribis. The halach of our mishnah is going to go into effect. Beseder. If, however, you want to buy from lekutos, kishar halekutos, so that's no different than the halach of our mishnah, where the halach is, that's something that's going to be okay. But it sounds like from Rav Nachman that the only time you can buy lekutos is from lekutos. Keilu, if you're buying from lekutos, lekutos tigas schayra, that's going to be okay. But if you're not buying lekutos from lekutos, but let's say you're buying lekutos from a balabayas. Now, why does the balabayas have lekutos? Akasha famaisa. But if you're buying lekutos from the balabayas, that sounds like it's not going to be okay. Right? That's the mashmois. Poiskin li lekutos kishara lekutos. The lekutos meaning for someone that's purchasing from the lekutos, then you could agree and you can do this shar based on the shar of the lekutos. Somebody, Rav Nachman, maishno loiket. Why is it that if you want to do this with the lekutos, you can't be lesle yazof milakut chavre? Meaning, because over here there's a concept of yotza hashar, and yotza hashar works when it comes to forward contracting, so that even if this person is ainloy right now, meaning he doesn't physically have it, but could always borrow it from somebody else. So you have the halacha of the Mishnah. That's it. Afal pisha ainlo zeh yesh lo zeh. And based on that, it's going to be okay. No, if that's the case, balabayis nami yosef mi lakut. So why can you buy from the balabayis kishar halakutos? Again, kishar halakutos means he doesn't have it, but it was yotza ashar of the lakutos. So being that it's yotza ashar, afal pisha ainlo zeh yesh lo zeh, and based on that, it should be okay. Amaleis Rav Nachman told him, I'll tell you why it doesn't work by the balabayis. Because balabayis zila bein milsa lemezef milakut. Because the whole premise of being able to use the forward contract, where it's ainloy, based on the shar halakutos, is that if I don't have it, I could always borrow it from somebody else. The balabayis is going to be embarrassed to borrow from the lekutos, and as a result, if he has it, it's good. But to leverage the shar halakutos based on the premise that he's going to be able to borrow it from somebody else if he wants to, it's zila b'milsa. And being that it's zila b'milsa, this is not, that's something that's okay. Iba yaseim, or you could say, man, the yov, zuzi l'balabayis, aperish firi yohev. That somebody, when he buys, usually from a balabayis, the assumption is that what's he going to get? He's going to get not lakutais, he's going to get Perishvir, he's going to get good payers. I mean that usually he's going to get good payers, even though here he agreed to buy lekutos from the balabayis, but it's not going to be okay. Meaning, the second reason, we'll recap this in a second, but the second reason why it's not okay to buy lakutas, kishar lakutas from a baal bais, because that's not usually what people do. Being that that's not usually what people do, it's for that reason it's not okay. Okay, just because that's not usually what people do, but now he is doing it. What should be the problem? So the achrenim say two svaras. One svar the achrenim say is marasai. Usually a person that buys peiris from baal bais, he's buying peiris shviri. You're punk buying lakutas. It looks like you're buying perish fi kishar halakutos, which we just said a second ago, that was part and parcel of the braisa that the Gemara mentioned as asr. So there's like a marasayin of an avak ribis, and based on that, this is something that's not going to be okay. Other achrayinim say that it's more based on a loy plug, that being that this moicher usually sells perish shviri, and perish shviri you can't sell kashar lakutas. So Chazal told him you can never sell kashar lakutas. What if punk now I have lakutas? Well, punk doesn't work. There's a loy plug, and based on that, it's not going to be okay. But the bottom line is, Reb Nachman said that just like there's a musig of yatsa ashar in our Mishnah, there's a musig of yatsa ashar as it relates to lakutas. Why would you think that? But Reb Nachman added a tremendous chiddush. He said the only time yatsa ashar works for lakutas is when the seller is a lakutas. Poiskin li lakutas nishar lakutas. But if the seller is not a lakutas, that's not going to be okay. Meaning, if you want to buy from a bala bayis, lakutas chayra kishara lakutas, even though the Mishnah says usually afal pisha in lazeh yesh lazeh yatsa ashar works, but when it comes to lakutas, it only works if you're buying from a lakutas. But if you're buying it from a balabais, then in and of itself, it's not going to be okay. Question is why? And the Gemara said two reasons. One reason is because the whole premise of yotza ashar is afa pisha in loze yesh loze. What are you going to do? You're going to end up borrowing from the person that has it. The lakutas has no problem borrowing lakutas, but the balabais is zila by milsa. It's not something he's going to do. Iba yisema. It's based on a svara that the balabais usually sells perishviri. What does that mean? Either it means marasayin or it means loyplo. But the rishonim uberoshim, the top toys for seran daf ayin beizam and beiz, they all ask that till now the understanding of afal pisha ein lazeh yesh lazeh was not that the person's going to go borrow; it's that he's going to buy it, right? In a forward contract, so the buyer gives the seller money to deliver schayra. If he would have the schayra, there'd be no ribbis issue. He doesn't have it, but it's yotza ashar. So if it's yotza ashar, he can buy it. And being that he can buy it, it's as if he has it. It's as if the kinyan already happened. All of this is a vak ribbis anyways. B'chayyab, b'chazal allowed it. They send no worries. You can go ahead with such a transaction. What's if do a borrowing? So, very nice. It's Zila Bey Milsa. He's not going to want to borrow it. But Zila Bey Milsa to buy it? Why would it be Zila Bey Milsa to buy? To go borrow, Lakuta is, okay, I hear it. For a Shein Baal Bas, maybe this is something that he's terzich to do. But to go ahead and buy it, Mehecha Teisni, this is not something that he would want to do. So if you look at Tosfos Lashon, it's a top Tosfos, a very short Tosfos. Tosfos says, Dibra Maschel Yasef Milachit Chavrei, Ilav Mishun De Motzi Lemezif, Afal Gaf De Motzi Lemizbin, Ein Choshev Shar Lifsoik Olav. Tais is very, very saucy. Tais says, even though he can buy it, but being that he wouldn't borrow it, that's not enough. The Rashba says a little bit more with Bokzeiner, and that is that you see from here that the only time Yotza Ashar works is when there's two options available right now to the seller. Number one, if he wants to buy it, he can buy it. Number two, if he wants to borrow, he can borrow. But if any one of these two options are not available to you, even Mitzad Svaru Chitzoiner, like in our Gemara, he's not going to do it. That would be enough to knock out the whole Yotza Asher, and that is pshat in Reb Nachman's halach of poiskin only lilakutais kishar halakutais. Zok de Gemara. Amar Rav Sheishas, Amar Rav Hum. Ein lovin al shar shalashak. You now let a borrow based on the shar shalashak. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi has two pshatim in what this means. We'll read Rashi inside. It's five lines from the bottom. Anisha Mati, I heard that what this means is ein lovin ma'is b'derech hava. A person's not allowed to borrow money derech hava al menas shem lo yishan l'chad zman ployni, with the condition and the stipulation that if I'm not going to pay back the loan by a certain day, etin l'cha peiros, I'm going to give you peiros kishar shalachsha based on what the peiros are worth right now. This is not something you're allowed to do. Why are you not allowed to do it? Let's just speak out. Peir Shabbat Peir. Reason you can't do it is because the peiros very likely are going to go up. And if they're going to go up, it's going to come out. It's ribbis. Zok Rashi. The Afa got the Derech Mekuchemem Kashari. Because even though it's Mavur in the Mishnah, that this is Mutter. Now, it's not always Mutter. It's Mutter if it's either Yeshloi or if it's Yatza Ashar. But that's only because in the Mishnah we're handling Derech Mekuchemem Kashari. Oh, but this is Derech Avah. That already, Zok Teilig Rashi is Asa. So Rashi in the Anishamati, in the first pshat, and that's the pshat we're going to learn, says that what does it mean? Amrav Sheshes, Amrav Hune, Ein Lov, and Ashar Shebashok. Even though there's a concept of Yeshloi and there's a concept of Yatzah Ashar, that only works when you're dealing Derech Mekach HaMemker. But the minute that you're dealing Derech Haba, it's not going to be okay. Now, just to be clear, this, although it's Derech Haba, it's not Ribbis Dairaisa. Because Ribbis Dairaisa is Derech Haba, but also Ribbis Ktutza, which is an agreement that I will not consider this loan satisfied unless you give me 10% interest. That's not what happened over here. No one's guaranteeing that the price is going to go up. It might say the same. It might go down. You have no idea what's going to happen. But the point is that being that it is Derech Hava, so it's one step closer to a Ribbis Deiraisa, that's the Chiddush of this Gemara. That the only time we say that Halach is Yeshlo Yotza Ashar works for this fourth contract is if it happened Derech Mekach HaMemker. But to the extent that it happened Derech Hava, this is not going to be okay. Now, who said this? Rav Sheshes said this, and he said in the name of Rav Huna. Zok the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yosef Baruch Hamad Rav Sheshes. So we're not sure who it was, but whoever it was told Rav Sheishes, you're telling me that Rav Huna said this. Could it be? For boy, my name is Rav Huna. Let me tell you the Messiah I have. I'm familiar with the following exchange that once happened in the Beis Medrash. Rav Huna was asked this question. Hani b'nei b'nei Rav, the b'nei yeshiva, the yasvi b'tishrei, they used to borrow money in Tishrei, upari b'tevis. And they would pay back in tevis. Now, what they did was, is they would borrow money, cash, in Tishrei, and then Tevis, a few months later, they would pay back with Peiros. Now, they would agree that the price of the Peiros was based on the shar of what it was in Tishrei, but the Maisa, they didn't make payment until Tevis. And very often, when Tevis came, the Peiros were worth more. And Rav Huna was asked, Shari or Yasser? Is this Mutter or is this Asser? Says the Gemara, Amaluhu, so he told him it's Mutter. You know why? Because Achiti Behini, Achiti Beshili. Because at the end of the day, although these Bnei Rav did not have any Peiros currently, but it was Yotza Ashar, and it was available in Hini and Shili. Thus, Iboy Zavni Uparale, if they want, they can go take the money that they just bargained, buy the Schaira, and pay it back. In other words, it's Yotza Ashar. So you see, Mefurish, Rav Huna was asked this question, whether Yotza Ashar Yeshloi works Derech Halva. Again, it's not Ribs Ktutza, but it's Derech Halva. And he said, Mefurish, it works. So Frek de Gemara, what's going on over here? Rav Sheisha said in the name of Rav Huna that although there's a Mishnah here in Dafayim Beis Amud Beis, but it only works when it's Derech Nekech HaMemke, it doesn't work where it's Derech Halva. So Namli Ram told Rav Sheisha, how could you say this in the name of Rav Huna? I know a real story with the Bnei Beirav. Ask Rav Huna whether it's okay to do this patent, and Rav Huna paskin that it is okay, even though it was Derech Hava. So the Gemara says you have to say it's a steer in Rav Huna. How could it be a steer in Rav Huna? There was a before and there was an after. Mikara Sava Rav Huna, Mikara before Rav Huna held Ein Lovin. He thought that Loch is Ein Lovin. That's what Rav Sheshes was saying over in the name of Rav Huna. Keeping the Shavu Lahadar Shmuel Barchi Am Rav Lazo Lovin. But then he heard that Rav Shmuel Barchi is saying the name of Rav Lazo Lovin. And when he heard him say that Amar Iunami Lovin, he says no. If it's good for him, it's good for me. And he changed his mind. He said Lovin, and that's the answer to the stira in the psak of Rav. Zok the Gemara Vayta. Tanu Rabban. Hamoylech Chavila Mimakom Amakom. Somebody was taking a chavila, a bundle of tefuah, from one place to another place. Rashi says these weren't just two places, but it was Mimakom HaZoyl Lemakom HaYoyke. So somebody had schayra, and he wanted to sell it, but where he was at the time was a place where if he sold the schayra, he wouldn't have gotten a lot of money. So he took it, Mimakom HaZoyl Lemakom HaYoyke, like this. He can get his best value for it. He can get more money. Okay, as he's traveling, and he's going through the headache of the logistics of taking his schayra from point A to point B, Motzei Chaveiro, he meets his friend. V'amaloi, his friend told him, Tenei, why don't you give me the schayra? V'ani ala l'cha k'derech shemaylan l'cha be'oisei makin. I'm happy to take the schayra for you. I'll bring it there. I'll sell it for you. And I'll give you dollar for dollar everything that you're supposed to get. Now, what was the interest in this person? Like, why is this something that he would do? So Rashi said, last words of Daf Ayin Beis on the days, Ve'eset tzor ki b'mois, that's my pliny. I got not there. I'll take the money in the interim. It's going to take a month for this to all happen. So for a month, I'll have the money, I'll invest it. Then in his chaloimus, this is a very good idea. And based on that, he told him, this is something I want to do. So says the Bryce, is it mutter or is it us? Well, let's get the case clear. The case is where somebody is taking schayra mi mokum l'mokum, from a mokum hazoil to a mokum hayoikir. So right now, where this person is this second, the schayra is worth $1,000. He's taking to a mokum hayoikir where it's going to be worth $2,000. He meets his friend. His friend says, you know what? I'll take it for you and I'll bring back $2,000. Give me the schayra right now. I'll bring you back $2,000. Let me use the money. So says the Braisa. This could work and it cannot work. It depends. B'shus moicher mutter. In the event that the moicher, meaning the person who owns the schayra, takes full responsibility for all the tefuah until it gets to makom pliny, so then the halach is it's going to be mutter. And the reason it's going to be mutter is because to the extent that the moicher, this person who owns the chavila, who owns the schayra, takes responsibility, so then we look at it as if this loan that took place, because that's essentially what this is, he's loaning him the schayra, but it doesn't happen until he arrives to makom pliny. When he arrives to makom pliny, what's the schayra going to be worth? $2,000. So he gave him $2,000. He's going to get $2,000 back. So as a result, there's no ribbis. If there's no ribbis, it's not going to be a problem. B'shus lekeach. If, however, the lekeach, the person who's now taking the schayra, is going to take responsibility right now, b'asher u'sham, if he's taking responsibility, that means he's an achray. He's an achray means he's a loiva. So that means he borrowed it right now. If he borrowed it right now, that means he borrowed schayra that's worth $1,000, because ba'isa makim, that's what it's worth. And he's going to return $2,000. Why is he doing it? Because he gets to use the money. So that's Aganata 101. And based on that, Osir, it's going to be Osir. So what does it depend on whether this works or not? It depends on who takes responsibility. If the Moicha takes responsibility, then it's Mutter. If the Lekeach takes responsibility, in that case, it's something that is going to be Osir. Tosfos, on the top of Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, he speaks out the obvious Ha'ara, in light of the sugis of Iska, and that is really another thing that you have to address, because at the end of the day, it's true, this loan is dollar for dollar. It's $2,000 of schayra, you're going to give me back $2,000 in cash. But at the same time, he's doing him a huge favor. He's selling his schayra for him, which is something that this person wanted to do. He saved him all the tercha and maybe the expenses associated with that. And why is he doing it for Aganater? So that in and of itself should be ribbis. Tosfos says, Enochinami. One line, you have to address this the same way you address the iska. The iska, as in the iska of the Mishnah. How do we address that? You give him an extra something. What's that extra something? Big machlokes tana. But the bottom line is whatever that is. So, tzareif lakan, cut and paste and apply it to this. You're going to have to address this tercha. But that's something that Chazal already addressed elsewhere, and based on that, that's something that you're going to have to do. Another case, this is all the Braisa talking. Somebody was transferring Peiris from one place to another place. And then again, he met his friend. And he told him, namely, he says, you know something, you're taking Peiris mi makoim lemakoim. Why don't you give me the Peiris right now? And the reason he wanted the Peiris right now, Rashi says, v'oichlem kan, I'm going to eat them now. I want to eat them. And I'm going to exchange them with peiros that I have in another place. So over here, there's a person that's simply taking peiros. He meets his friend. His friend says, I would love to have the peiros. You know what? Just give me the peiros. Is that okay? I'll borrow them from you and I'll replace them with peiros. Notice he's borrowing peiros for peiros. Makom hazol, makom ayoyker. That was the first case. Nothing to do with that. Simple. I want Paris right now. I'll return Paris to you. Says the Bryce is a mutter or not? It depends. And Yeshloi Paris Ba'isa Makam mutter. If he has Paris Ba'isa Makam, it's going to be mutter. Then laugh. And if not, Osir, it's going to be Osir. Says Rashi. What does this all mean? This is what we know as sa b'sa, where somebody borrows a sa worth of tefua. He says, I'm going to return a sa worth of tefua. Being that sa b'sa is not ribis k'tzutza, all it is avak ribis d'rabanon. If it's yeshle, the tan of this b'rais is of the opinion that this is something that's going to be mutter. Another case. Hachamorin, mailin, b'mokam ayoyker. ki b'mokem hazol ve'enam choshishen. So this case is already a whole other story. Let's see Rashi inside. It's dibra maskel v'chamorim ma'ilu b'mokem ha'yoyki b'mokem hazol ve'en choshishen. Ha'chamorim ha'mestakrim b'tfuah. So these were chamorim that used to make money with tfuah u'meviyem b'mokem hazol u'mokem ha'yoyki. So what they would do is they would go from a place where the tefuah was very, very expensive to a place where the tefuah was cheap. They would buy it from the place where it was cheap, and they would return it. They would bring it to the Makom HaYoyker, and like this, they were able to sell it for a profit. Says the Braisa, Mutu lehem likach mois mi balabatim ashirim b'makom HaYoyker. They're allowed to take investors from balabatim ashirim that live in this Makom HaYoyker. Al menas litin lehem lezman ployni ha'peirois kishan Makom HaZol. I mean, these people have a good business. Their business is that they know how to hunt down tefuah in different locations where tefuah is cheap. They would bring it to places where it was a little bit more expensive, and they would sell it there. And like this, they would make a profit. The shaila is, they wanted to take investors. Okay, so they worked out with the investors, and they said that, you know, you give us money, and we're going to pay you back in Paris, but we're not going to give you the Paris based on what the Paris are worth right here. We'll give it to you at our cost. We'll give it to you at the Makom HaZol. So like this, you're going to end up profiting tremendously, meaning this is our geschäft anyways. So if you give us money, you will give you a cut. You could be in with us. The reason this is something that sounds at first glance is a problem, because this feels a lot like ribbis, because they're taking the money in the Makom HaYoyker, and when they're returning it with payrois based on what the payrois are by Makom HaZoyah. Which means, right, just to put it in perspective, it could be that the Makom HaZol, you can get twice the amount of payers for your money that you're getting in the Makom HaYoyker, which means that the investors are getting a tremendous return. Wonderful for the investors, but the problem is, being that they're borrowing the money, they're taking a chrayas for it, so if they're borrowing the money, that's the metzias, so they're giving them interest. Again, it's in the form of payers. It's via this business transaction, but l'chayra, it sounds like it should be ribbis. Afal picking the price, says it's fine. Achamorim ma'ilu b'makom ha'yoyker, k'b'makom ha'zoil, ve'enon choshishin. You don't have to worry about it. My timer, what's the reason? So the Gemara says it was a machloikis ha'mayram. Rapapa said, nichluhu demaglu luhutara. These chevra, although it's true, they were paying ribbis, essentially, but they were getting a tremendous benefit. In fact, Rapapa said the reason they did this had nothing to do with Aganata, and this is the punchline. And nothing to do with the fact that, oh, we're going to do this because you're going to give us money and we'll be able to use it for a little bit of time. It wasn't even the point, right? Usually, if somebody takes money from an investor, so it's because he wants the money. It's like this, he can buy Moschai. That wasn't even the vart. The vart over here was, they were using the money that they got from the investor as a little bit of a front. They wanted to look important. They wanted to walk into town and taking down $1 million worth of schayra. I mean, it's all Yenim's gal, but the mice, they look good. And at the end of the day, so it gave them a certain chashivas. And because of the chashivas they got, this was something that they wanted to do. They didn't want to use the money per se. They were happy to return the money a second after they got it. The reason they were doing this was the maglutar. But here's the punchline. The punchline is they got a huge benefit from this money, not the etzem ishtamshus of the money, not the agonater. They got this ulterior benefit from the money, and because they got this ulterior benefit from the money, so for that reason, they were allowed to give something in return. Get back to this in a second, and that's why this was permissible. Rav Achbed Ravika said a similar pshat, but he said a different vart, meaning similar in that they're not in it for the aganata. That's not what this is about. They have some ulterior motive, some other benefit that they feel that they're going to get as a result of taking the investor's money. And that is nichaluhu demoizli gabay. The reason they wanted it was as follows, because they would come to town and they would start negotiating. And what they would tell the people is, he says, okay, how much do you want for this schayr that you have? He said, oh, 1,000 bushels of corn is going to cost you $1,000. He said, $1,000, how am I going to make a living, right? I can't, I need $1,000. He says, nah, we start to negotiate. He says, what do you mean? I know exactly who you are. I know where you're from. You live from a certain place. You're going to get it for $2,000 over there. He says, listen, you don't understand. He says, my investors that are funding me knew that I was coming to you, so they already discounted me based on the fact that I was going to buy it at this price. Unless you give me a better deal, there's no way for me to make a living. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to walk away. They start walking, starts following after him, right? You know how negotiations work. This is like in the Shuk. But the bottom line is he was able to negotiate a better deal by virtue of the fact that they had money that they had taken from people, where they were going to have to pay back the money based on the Shara Zoil. It gave them some negotiating leverage to get a price that was better than the Shara Zoil. And it's for that reason, this is something that they did. Again, it's similar to what Rav Papa saying. Katzata Shavash of the Hen is that they're not paying for the Aganata. They're paying for this fringe benefit that comes along with taking the money in this way. And being that it's not Aganata and they're getting something else in return, it's for that reason that this is something that's going to be okay. The Gemara says, my Binai, is there enough gemita between these two reasons? I mean, they sound like these two Geribina reasons, but is there a difference? The Gemara says, yeah, there is a difference. Ikebeinayu, the nafkimina is tagre chadada. What happens if you have a new merchant? So this is someone that's a little bit green, right? This is the first deal that he's ever engaging in. He's a quote-unquote tagre chadada, and this tagre chadada comes to town, and he's taking money from people. He no one knew who he was yesterday, and all of a sudden today, he's mamish the biggest soicher in town. Either way, so this person, says the Gemara, according to the first reason, listen, if he shows up with the money, he shows up with the money. So based on that, that reason is going to apply to the Tagre Chadata just like it would to a seasoned veteran. The second reason, however, where he's coming in and he's saying, listen, you know, I have a deal where I took the money and based on this price, the Tagre Chadata, nobody's going to believe, right? He's not someone that has the credibility. The banks don't trust him. Nobody trusts him. And as a result, that reason is not going to fly with the Tagre Chadata. And that would be the nafkamina between these two reasons. Now, we're not going to go into this any more than we already did. But if you look in the Rishonim, I am Berashba. Rashba is Medayik and Rashi. And the Diyuk is pretty glaring. I mean, it's subtle, but glaring at the same time. The way the Rashba explains Shitas Rashi in this Gemara is that Lamaskona Sagamara, the way we viewed these chevra, these merchants, was not even as borrowers. I mean, Pasha, you learned they borrowed money. They took money from the investors. They took full responsibility. I mean, even though it was an investment, we called it an investment, but they took responsibility for it. And because they took responsibility for it, it was a loan. And they borrowed money in Makam Hayoiker. They're returning payers. And they're returning it based on the Shara Zoil. So based on the Mukim that you're in, this would be a classic Ribbis. And as a result, it would be a problem. The Teretz of the Gemara, the way we learned it, and I think the way you would simply learn the Gemara, is that it's true there's a Ribbis over here. But at the same time, there are other benefits that these Chevra are getting, other than the Aganata. They're not even interested in the Aganata. And it's for that reason, it all balances itself out. It equals itself out. It's not Ribbis, meaning the ribbis is, if all I gave you was money, and now you're returning me interest. But being that over here there's additional benefits that they're getting, it wouldn't be ribbis. But the Rishonim, the Rishonim, again, the Rashban, Rashi says that's really not what's going on. What the Gemara means of Maskana is that they're not even borrowers. What we view them is shoymers. And really, they're a shoymer chinam, because they're not really getting paid, but at the same time, they're taking achrayas, and the reason they're taking achrayas is for the aforementioned. So really what the Gemara was doing is the Gemara was saying not that they're loivas, but they're allowed to give ribbis. What the Gemara is saying is they were never loivas. What they were was shemichinams that were willing to take achrayas. Right, we assume that they were loivas because they're taking achrayas. You're not a loiva if you're a shomer, why would you take full achrayas? The teretz is, this is the reason they're taking achrayas. Rav Papa gave his reason, Rav Achabred Ravika said his reason, the nafkamina is the tagre chadata, but the point is, the punchline of the Gemara is not that they're loivas, but they're allowed to give this ribbis, quote unquote, but rather, what they are is shomrim, that the etzim shouldn't be chayiv and oinsin, they shouldn't have full chiyuve achrayas, but they're taking the achrayas, and the Gemara just gave two explanations why it is they would be willing to be mekabel this achrayas. That's the Gemara. Surah, Azli, Arba, Arba. In Surah, so four griven, right, that's a certain measurement that we've become familiar with, of Tfua, sold for a Zuz. Bekafri, Azlan, Shita, Shita. In Kafri, so over there, the price of chitin was cheaper, and over there you can get six for your zuz. So your zuz got you further in Kafri than it did in Sur. So the Gemara says, Yav Rav Zuzi l'chamari. Rav gave money, Rav as in the great Amori Rav, gave a zuza to a chamari. V'kabal olel unza d'orcha. He was mekabal unza d'orcha, Rav was. V'shokl minayu chamisha. And he asked these chamorim to please go to Kafri with his zuz, buy him the chitin, like this, he'd be able to do a little bit better. So Rav lived in Sura. And Rav knew of these chamorim that were going to Kafri. And he says, here's a zuz. Will you do me a favor? Will you please buy chitin for me? If I buy it here, I can only get four. If I get it there, I'd be able to get six. But Rav said two things. Number one, I'm taking full achrayas. And number two, I don't want you to give me the full six. All I want you to give me is five. Freit Gemara, the Nishkol Shisa. Why did Rav say, I only want to take five? Rav could have taken six. And what's the Gemara's kasha? Being that Rav took achrayas, so that means it wasn't a loan until when? Until he arrived in Kafri. So if it's a loan, first when he arrives to Kafri, so he loaned him essentially based on what you can get for a zuz, so it's a zuz for a zuz. So based on that, so why do you only take five? You could have taken six. So the Gemara says, Adam Chashev Shani. Being that Rav was an Adam Chashev, and this is something that could potentially be an Avak Ribbis, if all the boxes are not checked off. So it's for that reason Rav wanted to be Machna. He took five, otherwise he wouldn't have done this, right? Before he could have just bought in Surah. He wanted to make a little bit of a profit, but at the same time he was sensitive. And this is not the first time that we've seen this Indian of Adam Chashev Shani and Ribbis, right? We saw with regards to the Mashkanta ben Achyasa, right? There is an idea that an Adam Chashev has a different Shulchan Aruch as it relates to Ribbis. In fact, we saw that an Adam Chashev sometimes, a Talmud Chacham can be more kuladig in the laws of Ribbis as it relates to Ribbis with the En Yehudi, Shla Yom and Mimaisa. That's something that you're worried about. Someone that's not an Adam Chashev, but Adam Chashev over there would actually be more kuladig. Either way. Boy minei, Rab Asni me Rab Yochanan. Rab Asni asked Rab Yochanan, Mau lasois bigrutois ken. So, Rav Asi's question was referring to the third of the cases that we mentioned in the Braisa that began on the bottom of Daf Ayin Beis on the base. The case of the Chamorim, right? The Maisa with the Tagra Chadata, where this person takes investors in the Makom HaYoker, he goes to the Makom HaZoil, and then when he comes back to the Makom HaYoker, he pays back this money that he took based on how much he paid for it in the Makom HaZoil. And we said it's mutter, even though there seemed to be a ribbis element, they took full achrayas for it, which certainly made it feel like a loan. And the way we explain the Gemara is that even though they took full achrayas, really it wasn't a loan. Why were they willing to take full achrayas? Because of all the fringe benefits they ended up getting. So Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan, that price was talking about chamorin that was selling tefuah. Is it only true for tefuah? What about grutois? So grutois are like metal scraps, Rashi says. Someone's in the metal scraps business. Could he do the same thing? I buy in the Makom HaZoil, I sell in the Makom HaYoker, I need money, I'll take achrayas. I'll take it from you, Kishara Yoiker, I'll repay it based on the Shara Zoil. This same exact patent, the Choyzer Chalila, with all the Pratim, is that something that you can do in the context of where the material, the Schoyer, is Grutois, or maybe it's exclusive to Tfuah? So the Gemara says as follows. Well, if even before the Gemara, what would be the Sfar, right? Why would you think Grutois should be different? So Rashi says the reason is because the market for Tfuah was an efficient market. The market for Grutois was not such an efficient market. And being that it wasn't such an efficient market, all these Svaras and all these alibis that are allowing you to do something that very much smacks from Ribbis could be are not in effect. Meaning this whole idea of Madli Lutara, this whole idea of Moisli Gabayu, you know, Tfuah was, yeah, you're dealing with the same customers for decades. Over there, the market, because of its efficiency, lent itself to some of these svaras. By Grutois, the Gemara has its side not. Either way, so Rabbi Yechon told Rav Asi, I'll tell you, Maisa Shahoyas, Amalei, Bikesh, Rabbi Shmob, Rabbi Yossi, Lassois, came with Klipishton. Rabbi Shmob, Rabbi Yossi, the great Tana, once wanted to do such a patent with Klipishton, for he nichai Rabbi, and Rabbi didn't allow him to do it. Ikadami, some had the gears to just the opposite. Bikesh, Rabbi Lassois, but Grutois came. It was Rabbi that wanted to do it, for he nichai Rabbi Shmob, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shmob, Rabbi Yossi did not allow him to do it. Moving along. Pardesa. So what's Pardesa? So Rashi says, this is a person that goes to his friend who has a Pardes. He has a vineyard. And he tells him that I want to buy all the wine. This is a big buyer. I want to buy all the wine that your vineyard is going to produce for the course of the year. Now, when he met him, the vineyard was not even in a place where you're ready to produce wine. Rashi says it was boiser, it was smadder of say the Zeroim fame, but the bottom line is, it was in its very infancy stages, and the person said that this is something that I want to do. So I'm going to pay you right now. I'm literally going to buy the field. That's what it sounds like. And what you're going to do is you're going to deliver wine. I'm not interested in boiser and smud. I have nothing to do with that. Wine, I'm very interested in. And as a result, this is what I want you to deliver. So Rav Aser. Rav said it's Aser. Vishmul Shari. And Shmul said it's Mutter. Rav Aser. Rav said it's Aser. Because keeping the Lekam is Shav Yitfei Mischazik Yagin not delay. Because at the end of the day, you're paying for it based on what it's worth now. By the time you're getting barrels of wine, it's going to be a lot more than what it is that you just bought. And because it's going to be a lot more than what you just bought, so it looks like some guy sold you his vineyard at a discounted price, and the reason he did it was because you were willing to give him the money today. It's aganata, and based on that, it's Mexican ribis, and therefore it's not going to be okay. But Shmuel Shari, Shmuel said it's mutter, because kiven dahavi beit tiyua loy Mexican aganata, because there's no guarantee, really, that this vineyard's going to play itself out. What if there's a bad crop? What if it doesn't work out? It's very possible you're not going to make money, and being that it's not muchach, you're going to make money, there's a lot of risk associated with this transaction, so it's for that reason this is something that's going to be mutter. Amr Rav Simi Bar Chiya. Rav Simi Bar Chiya said, "Umoidi Rav. Rav is moide b'toyri d'nafish p'seidai." In the event that this is a kerem, this is a vineyard, where the way this vineyard was worked was with oxen. Rashi says there were wagons involved. So such a vineyard is a riskier vineyard in terms of whether or not everything's going to play itself out outside the Yoyis HaToy. And being that there's a little bit more risk, so considering the fact that the buyer assumes all this risk, so over there, even Rav's going to be moide. It's going to be okay. Meaning Shmuel says it's always mutter because there's always risks. Rav says over here, usually not, but in a case where there's oxen and wagons involved, so then it's high risk. When it's high risk, for sure, it's going to be mutter. Now, just to explain, what's unique about this case? Why was this case different than the case in the Mishnah? So, from Rashi, it's mashma that this case is actually very different than the Mishnah. And the reason it's different in the Mishnah is, in the Mishnah's case, a person's buying tefuah. So you're going to give money right now for future delivery. The transaction is not consummated until the future delivery. That's the first Mishnah Perek Azov. You have to do Mashicha. Moy says not koinos. And being that that's the case, so the money that I gave you is what? So it's like a loan, because what else is it? I didn't get anything in return. All I got was a promise that you're going to give me something in the future. Tzizogin, right? That's all I got. So it feels like a loan, because that's all you get in a loan. And based on that, it is Mechzik Ribis, it's Derech Mekach HaMemker, and Chinami, it's Ribis Rabbana, and that's why Yatsa Ashar, Yeshlo, it's going to be Mutin. Over here, the person actually bought the field. I bought the field. You know why? Because here we're dealing with Karka, and when it comes to Nechos and Sheyesh Bemachrayis, Mois is Koinois. So it's my field. If it's my field, then it goes up in value. Adarabo, so you did a good deal. So why shouldn't you be able to profit off of it? And that's why Shmuel said it's Mutter. Rav said that I understand that's what happened. But what's his lashon? It's mischazik yaganatali, because at the end of the day, you're giving him the money now, you're getting nothing until the end of the season, and based on that, it looks like aganata. It's less aganata than the case in the Mishnah, because over here, it's not only in lumdis we're going to look at it as, I bought it over here. It's very, very different. But being that it's mischazik yaganata, it's a problem. What's Shmuel's teretz? Shmuel says, Shmuel says, I hear Rav, I understand there's something called Mischazi Kaganater, but at the same time, I don't think it's so Mischazi Kaganater, because there's no guarantee you're going to profit. In a regular situation, meaning, let's say even the case of the Mishnah, where you're buying it based on the Sharif now, and you know that it's going to go up in price, that was the Mitzvah. Okay, so there it's much more Mischazi Kaganater. Here I rather think it's less Mischazi Kaganater. I think it's mamish, not even Mischazi. There's so much risk associated. And by the way, Rav told Shmuel back, I'd rather agree in certain situations. There are times where, 100%, where you see the oxen going through with the wagons, in that case, no one knows what's going to come out. But in a normal case, I think it is Mischazi and based, but Al-Kopanim, that's why this is a separate Sifkot, and over here talked away in the middle of the daf. Why is it not the Mishnah? Because over here you bought it. It's very, very different. And Afal Pike and Rav is saying a chiddush that this is something that's going to be also. Amalu Shmuel Lahani the Shabshi Shipsha. So Shmuel told the people that were Shabshi Shipsha. Rashi. No, Shabshi Shipsha is talking about people that had sharecroppers that worked on their field. And what these chevra would do sometimes is they would loan the seeds to the sharecroppers, right? So what's your classic Oris and Chakiris arrangement? One person has a field, another person has a know-how, and they work out a deal. You work my field. In the case of an Oris, you give me a percentage of whatever grows. In the case of the Chakir, you give me a fixed amount of bushels or whatever it is that grows. One is a bigger problem. And Ribis, v'chulei v'chulei. But the bottom line is Sometimes the Oris didn't even have the seeds that he needed to go ahead and plant. So what the owner of the field would do is, he's the Shane of Albaz, he would give him the seeds, he would lend it to him, right? That's not included in this agreement. You want it? No problem. It's a side business that he has. So he gives him this as a loan, and he pays him back. How does he pay him back? Pays him back with schayra. Now, being that you're getting paid back with schayra, there's a little bit of a problem over here. What's the problem with sabasa? Because if you're going to pay back in cash, okay, the cash is not going to fluctuate. But if you're going to pay back in schayra, so the price of the schayra can fluctuate. Thus, you run into a little bit of a ribbis problem. So Shmuel told Hani the Shabshi Shibshi, told these chevra that used to lend the seeds to their people, their farmers that were working the field, hafuchu ba'ar. What you should do is, you should make a kinyan in a certain part of this field. One part of this field should be 100% yours. So like this, it's going to be yours. And you should agree that whatever grows there is going to be the payment for what you just loaned. The point is, then we view it as if you were kind of right now. It's not even so much alva. It's even almost like a mecha chamemker. And as a result, anything or any profit that you're going to end up making in the future is not going to be an issue. The Eloi, but he told him, if you're not going to do this, have a luchuk halva, then it's going to be a regular loan for us, and based on that, it's going to be us. Amadu Rava, lahanu de mantri bagi. Rava told people that used to watch people's tefillah. So this was a job once upon a time. A person was a shomer, right? Shomer kishum, we're familiar with. So that's essentially what this was. So this is a person, he's watching someone else's tefillah. Now, metzias, the watchman of the tefillah used to get paid when the chevra had money. When did they have money? After the harvest season, right? It was a long, arduous season until they had money. So you're watching for a few months during the year, and then you're going to wait a little bit, and after the Shas HaGoyren, when there's money, he's going to come and he's going to pay you back with schayr. Or even if he pays you in cash, it's at that point you're going to get paid. Now, these chevra used to wait until they got paid, and it's because of that, this job wasn't such a desirable job. So what the Balabatim would tell these watchmen was, listen, I understand you're going to have to wait. It's definitely one of the cons of this teller. But what I'm going to do is I'll give you like a shtickle extra. I'll throw you a bone. I'll give you a bonus. It's like this. If you wait for your money, I'll give you something. What's the problem? It's ribbis. Because it sounds like these people did work. They're supposed to get paid. They're willing not to get paid right away in exchange for a return. So Rava came to address this problem, this Mexican ribbis issue. So he tells the people that were mantri bagi, the people that used to watch the fields, Puku, I want you to go out. This is a good chap. And he said, Hafuchu bebeidari. Work out with the people that you work for that you're going to have some job, a nominal job, nothing too fancy, but you're going to go and you're going to help them with the disha, you'll be zoyer by your merakit, I don't know, you'll do something with them. And you should agree to have some job until the shnas agoyer. What's the purpose of doing that? So like this, your job is not going to be just to be a shomer. Your job is going to be to work. And when is the job going to conclude? It's going to conclude at the Shas HaGoyrin. If it concludes at the Shas HaGoyrin, when does he owe you money? At the Shas HaGoyrin. Why? The Schiris Einu Mishtalemes Al Besoy. We saw this earlier in the parak. Because Schiris always goes into effect Besoy. If that's the case, he can give you any discount he wants. He can give you as many bonuses that he wants to give you. Why? Because Vahiy Shaita Zulu Kavayz Gabaycha. That's not a problem. The only time it's a problem if he gives him more is if he's waiting for his money. If I'm waiting for my money and you're giving me more because I'm waiting for my money, I got nothing. But if the money didn't come due until a later point, and you paid me at that point, you can pay me as much as you want. You can overpay for something, right? You're allowed to overpay. That's something that comes out clearly from Ezra Nashik. Doesn't necessarily know. There has to be a meeting of the minds. You want to overpay. Oizuli Oizagabe is a good thing when you're learning Ezra Nashik. That gets you out of every ribbis problem in the world. You want to overpay 12%? Gesundheit. No usury laws on that. That's something that you're allowed to do. What you can't do is you can't take more for waiting. So Rava said that the way these contracts were typically structured was, you do your job, you would wait, and you get paid more. Oh, that's agranatas. He said, just continue doing your job. He said, but I don't want to do a job. He says, don't worry about it. Once a week, you're going to come in, and you're going to take some kernels, you throw them into the wind, not on Shabbos, and as long as you do that, that's going to be okay, and based on that, it's not going to be a problem, because Schiris Einu Mishtalem is out of his life. That was Rava's answer. Something about Rabbi Rabbana Le Rava. The Rabbana told Rava, Ka'achal Mar Ribbis. So Rabbana now come to Rava, and they tell Rava, he says, Rebbe, Ka'achal Mar Ribbis. Wow. got other. They told him, Ka'ocha ma ribbis. He says, ribbis? He says, man chashme, how am I eating ribbis? I'll tell you very simple. The kuli alma shakli arba. Because most sharecroppers take for their chakiros four, that's the dollar amount, umesalki la risa benisan. And they're forced to harvest and to leave the field in Nisan. Now, Mar, you rub a not to Luadir. You allow them to stay an extra month. You allow them to stay until Iyar, the Shakal Shisa. And instead of taking from them four, you take from them six. Now, it sounds like what you're doing, Rav, and this is what they told him, is you're allowing these Chevra an extra month to make payment, but in exchange for that, what you're doing is you're charging them more. And if that's the case, it's agarnata. Amaluhu, so he told him, he says, no, you don't understand. He says, what I'm doing is right, what you're doing is wrong. You're doing the wrong thing. He says, why? Really, the land is mishubah to the artist. When you throw them out during Chodesh Nisan, you're actually not allowing them to reach their full potential that they're able to reach with their field. You're causing them hafsid, and because you're causing them hafsid, so therefore the price gets discounted. I, however, I wait until Iyar, which is the right time for them to be there. And being that I wait until here, when they give me more, they're actually giving me what they're supposed to give me, and that's why it's going to be okay. He says that you're telling me that I'm getting more because of the fact that I'm giving them an extra month. Thus, there's an aganata. He says, actually, just the opposite. What I'm doing is the right thing, because the right price is for them to be until Iyar, and it should be for Shisa. You're throwing them out early, and as a result, the price is discounted. But you want to know who's doing the wrong thing? I'm not doing the wrong thing, in that the price is more based on ribbis. You're actually doing the wrong thing, because you're throwing them out prematurely, and that was the way Rav was able to be miyashiv, that there was no ribbis problem over here. Another story, Rav Mori Baruch. So who is Rav Mori Baruch? So if you take a look at Rashi and Tosfos, a little bit of history about Rav Mori Baruch, certainly not for today. So Rav Mori Baruch, Mashkin Le'ahu Nachri Besa. So Rav Mori Baruch had loaned money to a Nachri. Okay? The Nachri gave Rav Mori Baruch a house as a Mashkanta. Hadazavna L'Rav. And then the Nachri went and he sold the house to Rav. Not a Tracy Archishasa. Rav Mori Baruch Hu waited 12 months, and at the end of 12 months, and the way the Marshal explains it, a month after the 12 months, a long time over here, Shakal Agar Besa, he took that first month's rent, and Amtelei the Rav, and he brought it to Rav. So you get the story? Rav Mori Baruch Hu is a malva. He loaned money to a loiva, that's a nachri. This nachri gives Rav Mori Baruch Hu a mashkanta. What's the mashkanta? He gives him his house. And then Rav Mori Baruch Hu hears that the Nachri sold his house to Rav. So for the first year, it's a gemach nishvisendik. He lived in the house, mashkanta. That's what he's doing. The end of the year, that first month after the end of the year, schiru seinu mishtalem esal lebesoid. So he goes and he makes his first payment to Rav. Amalei. And then Rav Mori Baruch Hu told Rav as follows: Haidolei amtoi lemar agar beis ador idno. The reason I didn't come to you until now is the stam mashkanta shata. Because stam mashkanta, we had this earlier in the parak, is for a year. Meaning, if a person gives somebody a mashkin, so for 1 year, right, even in a place where you could be masalik pazuzi, but stam mashkanta shata, for 1 year, you get to be the balabas on this mashkin. So being that stam mashkanta shata, iboy nochri lasalki, if the nochri would have wanted to give me money to take the mashkin away from me, like having matzi masalikli, it's not something he could have done. Oh, but now it's after a year. Being that it's after a year, now if the nochri wants to be masalik the mashkin by giving me money, that's something he can do. So lishkomar agrabesis, I don't feel anymore like I have a right to be here for free. So he says, I want to pay you the rent, and now I'm giving you the rent. Meaning, he told him, for the first year was my mashkanta. The Nachri had no right to sell it to you, so mechateis, I should pay you rent. But after the first year, he does have a right to sell it to you. He does have a right to, because he can take the mashkin away. So being that he can take the mashkin away, he has a right to sell it to you, so now I feel like it's yours. So I'm living in your thing. If I'm living for your thing, he said, I'm going to pay rent. And as a result, he started paying a rent. Amalei, so he told him, he have a yadada to have a mamushkin lei lamar. So Rava told him, had he known that it was mamushkin lei lamar, Rava says, you know, when I bought this field from the Nachri, I didn't chap it was a mashkin. And he said, had I known that it was a mashkin, lei havas amnino lei, I would have never bought it. Meaning, he said, I'll be honest with you, Amar Baruch, I'm sorry I bought it. I wouldn't have even bought it. If this was your mashkin and you had it, I wasn't looking to create any situations over here. Then he told him, Hash Hidinei Mavdino Lecha. But being that I bought it from a guy, so I'm going to treat it the way it would be treated Bedine Yakun. And the way a mashkin is treated Bedine Yakun is called Amos Loi Mesalki Bezuzi Loi Shokol. Called Amos Loi Mesalki Bezuzi Loi Shokol Agar Beso. As long as he doesn't pay back the loan, you're not allowed to take agar beis. He said, "No, nami lo yishakil naminach agar beis. Ad mesalken lach bezuzi. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm not going to take any agar beis until the loan gets paid back. Meaning, b'dinei Yisrael, after a year, so now ready, it's not so poshut that you're allowed to live there anymore. But he told him, being that I bought it from a nachri, I'm going to treat it as if it was b'dinei oiv dekechavim. And b'dinei oiv dekechavim, what's the halacha? You're allowed to stay there. Ad mesalken lach bezuzi. And being that this guy didn't pay off the loan yet, so I'm not willing to take and Rav allowed Rav Mari Baruch to live in what essentially was really his house based on this situation. So we hear that Rashi asks the Kasha, so why was that not Ribbis? At the end of the day, Rav is giving Ribbis to Rav Mari Baruchel, and for Rashi, Rav is allowed to give Ribbis to Rav Mari Baruchel. It's not Ribbis, Rav is not the loiva. Who is the loiva? The Nachri was the loiva. So the Nachri wouldn't have a problem anyways. Now, had Rav been the loiva, and now Rav is saying, live in my house for free, even after the year, even Basra, that's not okay. So in the Chanami, referred to the earlier sugis of Mashkant and Ribbis, that would have been a problem. But Zalk Rashi, mean that Rav wasn't the loiva. To mean that Rava wasn't the loiva, since for that reason this wasn't a problem. A little bit more. Amalei Rava mi Barnish to Ravashi. Rava Barnish told Ravashi. Chazima Rabbanon to Kaachli Rabisa. Take a look. The Rabbanon are eating ribis. Were the Rabbanon eating ribis? The Yavi Zuzi Acham Rabbi Tishrei, because the Rabbanon they buy wine in Tishrei Umavchri Lav B'Tevis, but they don't actually get the wine delivered to them until Tevis. Okay, so what's the problem? They're buying wine in Tishrei, and they're getting the wine in Tevis. So Rashi says the issue over here was that between Tishrei and Tevis, there's always the possibility that this wine is going to go bad. And the Moicher used to take responsibility. He used to say that if this wine is Hichmitz, if something happens to the wine, I'm taking full responsibility. So if you buy the wine in Tishrei, let's say you buy 10 barrels of wine. So there's a chance, let's say, whatever the odds are, that one of the bottles of wine are going to be Chaimitz. If you wait until Tevis and you take it then, by then you'll know if it became Chaimitz or if it didn't become Chaimitz. It's just the Metzias. And obviously you're not going to take Chaimitz. The person told you he's going to sell you wine. You're going to end up getting wine. So like this, you're going to get for sure the wine. So if you would have taken it when you bought it, when you gave the money, there would have been a 10%, let's say a certain percent chance that a certain percentage of your wine is going to be Chaimitz. But when you got it, that risk wasn't there. Now the Moicher essentially was assuming that risk. Meaning he's taking achrayas. He's saying that even though if I deliver it to you now, you know, could be I win, but I'm going to wait until later and I'll make sure you get your wine. Why is he willing to do that? Because he's getting paid right now. Essentially, it's agar natar. So that's what the Rabbanon came in. They said that you understand chazim ma Rabbanon the ka'achli rabisa because of this risk. Amalei, so again, who said this? Rava mi Barnish told this to Ravashi. So Ravashi told him, Ini nami achamra kayavi, achalo loy kayavi. Meikara de chamra chamra, de chalo chalo, ahi shaita de kamafkri. He said, this is not a problem. He said, the reason it's not a problem is because really these Rabbanon, what are they buying? They're not buying Chaimitz, what they're buying is wine. Grada, at the time that they bought the wine, they didn't know 100% what the wine is or isn't. But really what they were buying was wine. And what they got in Teves was also wine. Now, they didn't, you couldn't identify which was the wine and which was not the wine at the time that they bought it. But at the end of the day, all they got was what they bought. And because all they got was what they bought, you can't consider this ribis. Again, it's derech mekachamem, because you're not dealing with real ribis. The problem is, it feels like an aganater. You can't tell me it's aganater if you give me what it is I bought. The Gemara understood, lechatchila, that they're buying this taruvis over here. And as a result, I'm taking achrayis to make sure that I'll replace this with that in the event that's what ends up happening. That's what's happening. I'm not replacing anything. I bought wine, and you're giving me the wine that I bought. There's no Kabbalah Sachrayas. Kabbalah Sachrayas is I bought X, and if something happens to X, I'll replace it with Y. That's not what's happening. I bought the Y that you ended up giving me. Now, if you look at the Lashon of the Gemara adds one Knei, Shemshah. Right, let's read the Gemara again. He told him back, when they bought wine, when they gave money, the money that they gave was for chamra. Achala loy koyavi. And here's the extra line. Meikara the chamra chamra, the chala chala. The way Rashi explains is that really we couldn't see it, but if we were scientists, if we were able to, you know, understand and dissect the chemicals inside this wine, you would have that this is wine and this is chametz. Meaning it was even identifiable at that time. Granted, to us it wasn't. But like Yesh Breira, Gloy Muslim Afreya, this is what they bought and that's not what they bought. And for that reason, it's going to be okay. Ki'ilu, it's Mavur and Pashim Shayim and the Gemara. If there was no way really to determine what was Yain or what was chametz at the time of the sale, then there would be no way to deem it and view it with the lumdus that we just explained. You would have to say you were willing to take down a shipment and he's being mekabel achrayus for the agarnata, which is ribbis. But no, what we say is that I bought this, I didn't buy that, and this and that was identifiable at the time of the sale, and it's for that reason this is going to be okay. Ravina habiyavi zuzu lebnei akre de shamvasa. One last gemara. Ravina used to give money to the Bnei Akra de Shanvasa. So what does this even mean? It says, G'day to see Rashi. Rashi says, Shanvasa Shem Hanar. Shanvasa is the name of a city, and Akra is country Balas. So apparently this was some suburb, country Balas, self-explanatory. It's literally on the Nahar. And Ravina used to give money to these Chevra. These were, again, like local farmers. And he would buy from them Schoil. V'shavchilo tfei kufisa. But because he was Ravina, so they would throw a little bit extra. They didn't just give him dollar for dollar. They would give him a little bit more. Now, the reason this was maybe a problem is because when Ravina used to give him the money, he used to give it to them before the harvest season. And then they would deliver. And when they deliver, they throw in an extra bottle or whatever it was. So the Gemara says, also the Kamid Ravashi. So Ravina went to his Rebbe Ravashi. Right, Ravina Ravashi were Talmud Chavar. So he goes to Ravashi. Amalei, he told him, Yishari is a mutter. Amalei, so he told him in. And this is a huge chedesh. He said, Achuli hodekom machli gabach. He said, that being Michael. So this Rashi, we have to really read inside. Achuli kom machli gabach. Hoyo voloi pasakto imoim. Being that you never made an agreement with them that they're going to give you more. And they're doing it on their own das. And they're not even mentioning anything about agarnata. Matana b'almi, all it is a matana. This sounds like the greatest workaround to the laws of ribbis. But the bottom line is, not for now, but this is this very big chiddush. He told them, achuli kama. It's not ribbis, it's mechila. It's not ribbis, I'm just giving you a matana. I mean, okay, I mean, it's that simple, right? When you had the iska for. But the bottom line is this is what he told him, Amalei. But Ravina asked Ravashi a follow-up question. He told him, Ha'ara lav deduhi. He says, there's another problem, Rebbe. He says, you know, there's a lot of, this is a very controversial glass of wine. He says, there's another problem. Forget Shemitah. I mean, there's real problems going on here. Right? He said, there's another issue. He said, the other issue is that, the issue is that this whole field, they don't even own the field. They stole the field. This is not even their field. This whole thing is one big Yenevish shtick. So he said, what about that? Now, what was the back and what? They were Stam listing Mizuyin? No, that's not what it was. What happened was, is there were Chevra that didn't pay their property taxes. So they would come, they would take over the field, they would pay the property taxes, and they would assume the property. So he said, what about that? Amalei, so Rashi said, that's also not a problem. Why? Because Ara Lataska Meshavta. The land is Meshubit to its taxes. Umalko Amar, the king says, Mandiyov, Taska Lechalara. He says, you want to know who gets to eat the payers? It's the person that pays the taxes. They pay the taxes, and based on that, they're going to be the ones that are going to be able to keep the money. The bottom line is, this concludes Bava Metzia, that I am based on the base, and the majority of Bava Metzia, that I am Gimel. Again, we went through this Gemara quickly. This Gemara very much has in it Hafachba, Vafachba, the Kulaba, as it relates to Perakez Uneshech, both from the yeshiva perspective, the lumdus of Perakez Uneshech. There were so many different cases. All these cases are very, very nuanced. We do what we do. B'tein l'chacham v'yech gemoit.